Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Fans United. I'm Chris Wimmer, along with Eric Hollywood Hunsicker. Devin McTavish is not with us. He's on vacation, but we're still here. We're still fans, and there's plenty to talk about, so we couldn't let it pass.
Yeah, shout out to the missing DMT. Even though he's not here, I want to put together a small package of sound bites of his responses so we could just, like, you know, hit macro keys and push those in. Can you get on that for me, Chris?
I'll look at what I could do. I probably won't be able to do that. That's above my pay grade. No, I'm just kidding. I wish I could, but wow.
So let's jump right into
a lot of news for an off week, huh?
A lot of big news today. So here's what I learned today. It's pronounced toe here.
Okay.
I've been saying Thor here, but our new Indonesian overlord, as somebody said last week in a very sly Simpsons reference, is Eric Thorhair, and seemed like a super thoughtful and well-reasoned guy, and I really liked his associate Jason Levien, who's very well-spoken and comes out like a typical sports and entertainment and sports law guy,
right?
Which is that he comes into a room with a big personality, he fills it up, he says all the right things, and he really looks like he means them. So it was a super landmark watershed day for DC United. Let it be written, let it be so. You know,
yeah.
July 10th, 2012.
Mark it on your calendar, right?
Exactly.
Put it on your Facebook timeline to remember. I don't know, man. It was great. Yeah, he's definitely all those things. He's also, if I remember correctly, he's an ex or current sports agent. Or am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah.
He had something to do with being a sports agent. And the best thing I liked when I was I actually watched a live feed of the presser. All of except for the times where it cut out a few times, but I caught most of it. And I really liked him making a personal connection to the D.C. area. Followed his sister here, had his first job here, had an internship. That really made me, I liked it even more. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, he put his bona fides to the area out right away.
Right.
And, I mean, I liked that the whole press conference from the very beginning it included the supporters groups and the fans, you know, and they mentioned a bunch of people by name. I noticed Tracy Kidwell and Eric Kidwell, you know, getting shout outs right up top, and members of Barb Robin, Lenorte, and District Altas, and I just thought that was super great, you know, to put that right up top, you know, bring them into the room and say, hey, you know, just like Ben Olsen said, like I repeated so many times, you're part of this DC United family, and you know, we want you right here at the table when big things are happening.
Definitely, definitely. And I really liked how Kevin Payne kind of shot back at Stouffer, right, saying, you know, mm-hmm. Well, we've been here 5 years ago, right around the corner. And so it was nice for Kevin Payne to say, hey, one of those guys is still here. Like, you know, fair enough, mm-hmm. fair enough, the whole group's not here. But, you know, they haven't been completely abandoned. And giving credit to Will Ching, like, he's been through a pretty rough time hanging on as the sole money guy, right?
Yeah.
So you can see a little bit of happiness, I'm sure, in his smile up there. I don't think it was a front or fake. I mean, hey, he's got more financial backing, support, and some young, hungry guys, you know what I mean? So
yeah, I like that they touched that base. You bring up a really good point, you know, that, you know, now's a great time to be investing in DC United. But, you know, those of us who've hung through the dark days, they're not so far off. You know, we carry that with us, you know, and then we've stood by the team during those times as well. So, yeah, that was good that point got made.
Yeah, I liked it. I like Jason how is it said? Levien? I'm sure we'll learn it. But I really just – I liked his attitude. I liked how he's a little coy about a few things, you know, and someone asked him, well, what's next on the agenda? And he kind of just, like, left it hanging, you know. You're going to have to wait and see, but it's definitely good stuff. And I like how he mentioned that they really took their time. They didn't just jump into this. He mentioned something about 8 months. And
8 months, yeah.
Lots of conversations, him and Eric, and you know, and so I kind of appreciate that as a fan. They really did their due diligence, and anybody could just jump in and, oh, yeah, you know, here's some money for four MLS championships. Good, you know. But it looks like these guys are, you know, the real deal, and obviously they're successful businessmen, so that's probably part of how they operate, so that's good.
You're right, and it's been very considered, and, you know, you're right. They're not just jumping into something here. They've made a connection to the team and to and with the area. And I also like the fact that, you know, Steve Goff gets the first question, and what's the first thing he asks about?
Right, the same thing everybody's wondering, right?
Exactly. The word stadium is in his, you know, basically his question was yada yada stadium.
Yeah, it's it's probably the 1 year of DC United's in first place, and there might be something more important to the fans than that. Right.
And he sort of put it like this. I mean, it wasn't even a question. He said, you know, of course, your plan must include a route to a new stadium, you know,
right.
Basically. And I like the use of the word machete that Levian got into.
Yeah.
He's like, sure, there's a path to it, and we'll have to get our machete. You know, like, that's the truth. It's not easy in D.C. Everybody knows that. It's, you know, it's a difficult, convoluted and crowded and dark and, you know, overgrown, chaotic mess road from here to a stadium, and they're willing to grind it out and find that path.
Yeah, and you know, I tend to try to read between the lines like I did with the Shevchenko thing, and and I just try to see, like, what's the little tidbit, and I think I don't think they're have any plans at all to take this team away from D.C. They mentioned the international appeal of the city of Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
They mentioned Jason mentioned his roots in D.C. So just reading between the lines and just listening to it and all the quotes and everything that I've seen so far, it doesn't seem like moving the team is on the radar, which, of course, being a fan is great. I'm happy for that, you know?
It doesn't seem like moving it out. I think that they did a lot to sort of shore up their connections to and with the community, and also with the uniqueness of Washington. And to me, the press conference unfolded in a nice dramatic fashion, okay? Because first you have Levian doing all the talking, and the first time Tohir is referred to, he remains silent, and he just gives a handshake, and Levian mentioned, you know, well, his native language is, and he mentions the Indonesian dialect that he speaks.
Right, right.
And so we all kind of, you know, I was looking at him like he's Bruce Wayne. You know, he's just going to sit there.
Yeah.
Let me quote Bob Dylan, like I often do, sit silent like Buddha in his 6-foot cell, you know. but then I'm glad that he talked about, you know, how soccer has been a game that's been very important in his life. And then once he starts opening his mouth and talking about the international appeal and global brand. You know, everybody wants to say global brand now, but, you know, when you're talking about the crown jewel of American cities, which, let's face it, that's what Washington, D.C. is.
Right.
It was great to hear his perspective on that, that he feels that gives weight, that gives gravitas to D.C. United, that those first two letters really mean something. So, you know, the fears that we've discussed, or I should say the notion we've discussed earlier that D.C. could be becoming the, you know, Baltimore United or the Northern Virginia United seems to be,
to
rest. Right, right.
Yeah.
I think they're taking more of a Verizon Center approach to the whole thing.
I agree, because if you would read between lines and they would only mention the club, the history of the club, and stay away from the city, then I would have got the vibe that, hey, they're considering it. But to focus on Washington, D.C. so often and as personally as they did, I mean, who am I? I'm just a fan, and just like everybody else I watch, but it doesn't seem like that's an option. And to use the word machete, like you said, it shows that they're ready. They know it's a battle. They're ready, you know? But you know what? They have what gets things done in D.C., legally or not. They got money. Let's be honest.
Hey,
the city runs on money, you know?
Dude, all wars are economic.
Exactly.
Come on, let's face it. And, you know, I think neither of these guys instead of saying neither, I should say none, because it's a team.
Right.
I love the way Will Chang said, look, I'm not going anywhere. You know, I didn't sell the team. I didn't divest. I'm not passing it on to these guys, which – you know, the theatrics of it at first sort of seemed that way to me.
Right.
Like Will Chang was going to stand up and say, I've had a great time here at DC United, and I'm glad to pass the torch to these gentlemen. But he didn't. He's like, hey, I want you to meet our new partners. These guys have fresh legs. They've got new ideas. You know, they're big fans of the place. They've got, you know, let's face it, deep pockets and big ideas. And they're buying in. It's kind of like AOL Time Warner, you know? It's
and say what you will about Will Chang, he's still here. He didn't leave. And
right.
He, if anything, he deserves to see any fruits of success or fruits of labor, or, you know, what his patience has bought him, basically. You know, he deserves it.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
You know, if you're willing to lose money for years after years and still hold out hope and not bail, you deserve anything good that comes from it, you know? So,
yeah.
So hopefully,
yeah.
Hopefully it's all good. And I'm excited.
It just,
man.
You know, to me, it's all about opening windows and expanding opportunities. That's basically the message from today. And it's exciting for me to see somebody else, you know, another organization, another group, be as excited about what we love as well, and to see it the way that we'd like for it to be seen when they start saying, you know, compete on an international level.
Yeah.
Was one of my notes from what Eric Tohir said today. And I was like, wow, that – you know, he goes, I know we're not going to be at AC Milan right away.
Right.
I'm like, wow, but still, he's thinking that we can do the same things that a Chelsea does, which is maybe go play some Indonesian leagues.
Or how
maybe
about
go
even
play.
What the Galaxy do.
Sure.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
Comparing it to another MLS club, they're the most international known MLS club. Why not
right.
put them in your sights first, right? You know?
Right. Well, you know, when I travel, I see a lot of Beckham jerseys, I see a lot of Herbalife jerseys, you know? And
right.
I would love if when I'm traveling, you know, I'd see DC United jerseys, you know, in Europe, in Asia, in Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because why shouldn't it be a global brand? You know, it represents the USA. And you know, I got to hearing this guy talking, and I was like, you know, why not? I've never really thought about that before. Why the hell not? Don't forget, you know, merchandise is the sweetest plum, as they say about, you know, whether it's a movie, a band, a book,
well, you
a
know,
sports
the
team.
Champions Leagues do it here, right? You can go to Target
exactly.
once a year and you get the Chelsea, Man U, AC Milan, whatever club has their gear in there, you know, and they do it
sure,
here, and that's how people learn about those clubs. They just see
absolutely.
The gear and they buy it. Just, you know, baseball does it
really
with the
angry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get really angry. I go to Dick's and I go up to the guys. I'm like, you're kidding me. You're telling me I can get a Liverpool jersey, but I can't get a DC United jersey?
Exactly,
so,
exactly. So
you know, hopefully that's going to turn around.
The one weird thing that I thought about is interesting that they're like minority owners of the 76ers.
Yeah.
The whole Philly DC thing, you know, in all sports. I just wonder how they're going to balance that tightrope, you know, like how are they going to walk that? I mean, obviously they're not the soccer team, but. It's Philly, D.C., you know, any kind of connection there is odd to have your foot kind of in each, you know.
I don't see it as such. I think that there's enough membrane of separation between NBA / MLS. I think you could, you know, own part of the Eagles and you know, still be D.C. United. I don't see it as mutually exclusive whatsoever.
Well, how about ironic?
That to me wasn't a sticking point. Yes, there might be some irony there. But you know what? I like our rivalship with the Union.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I have much more begrudging respect for them and for the Sons of Ben. Maybe it's because I've been to their house and because one of my good contacts in entertainment, especially in sports-related entertainment, is based in Philly, and he's big pals with Sons of Ben. And, you know... I follow a lot of them on Twitter, and we have healthy conversations. Not like Red Bulls New York. Red Bulls New York, there's a lot of vitriol.
No, you want to have a healthy rivalry that just makes both teams better and want to be their best,
right.
And that's Philly, D.C., well, for the most part.
And that's based on respect, yeah. I know the game itself gets a little dirty, but I think the fan associations, at least as far as I can tell, are still pretty cordial, maybe.
Right.
You know? Begrudging respect, you know, it's still a new rivalry. Give it time, right?
Yeah, on a rivalry that's one that I would not want to be a participant in. I got the email asking for me to apply for the credentials for U.S. versus Mexico at Stadium Azteca. There's no way I would go there, especially with everything going on right now. That's got to be one of the most dangerous
yeah.
places to go, and that rivalry of all things, you know.
Yeah,
I was watching on YouTube. They had the trailers for some of the movies at the kicking and screening, and one of them is about that rivalry.
Wow.
And I don't think the U.S. has the U.S. ever won at Stadium Azteca.
I don't think so. But
I was so either.
I was just reading an article yesterday from the Bumpy Pitch guys about a trip down there.
Yeah.
It was actually on Adam Spengler's TIAS site. This is American Soccer. And he made a trip down there, and he talked about, first of all, he's like, this is a horrible, grubby, crumbling shack of an arena that, and he's like, and look, there's no press box. This is really funny. He's like, there is no press box. He's like, you know, the press is right in the stadium. The only difference is there are a couple tables laid out. He's like, and this results in a lot of beer being spilled on laptops and suits.
It's really,
I'll link you that article.
Of a rivalry that's definitely full of vitriol, I would not want to be in Stadium Azteca the first time the U.S. ever wins there. I just don't imagine that's going to go over very well at all.
Yeah.
And I can see it happening this time, you know?
Death too. Yeah.
The way the U.S. is playing, and I don't know. Yeah, so anyway, I decided I'll pass on that application.
Yeah, I don't want to go too far off topic here. I'm staying out of Mexico for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I grew up in Southern California, and I don't think I'll be back anytime soon, that's for sure.
Me too, and I've shot in Mexico. I've had very positive experience, especially down Baja Peninsula. I really love it down there, but I am not...
It's too bad, too. It's a beautiful place, and there's good experiences, but...
Nice people, but they're, you know, they're under the gun right now. You know what I mean.
Yeah. And then one last thing about the press conference today and about their goal to make it international, DC United, the brand. We're doing our part in our house. We have an exchange student visiting from Spain, huge fan of soccer. He plays soccer. He's 16, Carlos. And so we took him to the first...
Shout out to Carlos.
Yeah, Carlos is... perfect match for our family, being a soccer fan. And so we took him June 30th, right, to the Montreal
game. I saw a nice picture of that.
Yeah, it was good.
Standing next to your daughter.
Yeah, thanks to Dan at DC United for the seats. Gave us great seats for my daughter and for Carlos, pretty close to the side of the pitch. And
awesome.
So that was good, our introduction to international. And he's actually going to go try out for the U18 Academy this weekend. So,
all right.
He has big aspirations of playing professionally in America. So,
and he wants to play here.
Yeah, it's a little backwards, right?
That's awesome.
He just loves America, awesome. So, and he loves soccer. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's how it should be.
So that we're doing our part to make it international. If anybody's listening, anybody, Eric, with a CK at the end, right?
Toe here.
Yeah, we're definitely doing our part. I'm just excited, man. And so
yeah, that's really cool. Oh, good for him. And that's great news. I showed that picture to my wife. I'm like, when I have teen daughters, I don't know if I'm going to invite a European soccer teenager into that.
Well, luckily, my house is filled with kids all day, and my wife's here all day. So I know what you're saying. I hear you, but.
It was a cute picture. It was.
They definitely had fun.
That's great news. So next time DC United's out, it's Houston Dynamo, right?
Yes. And
at our place or at theirs? It's at our place, isn't it?
Our place, Will Bruin.
Yeah. Well, at least we got them at home this time. Last time we saw them was out there at the out in the desert, but it wasn't too hot yet.
No, they just opened their stadium. So.
It was their grand opening, and they kind of rolled that orange carpet right over us, didn't they?
Yeah, I think we were hoping that we would get them with the high energy and excitement, but we didn't.
Looking back, that was probably an overly optimistic prognosis on my part.
Maybe. I don't know. I was there with you. I agreed, you know. Well, real quick, before we get into the next game, what did you think about D.C. and Montreal?
I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you something. I really think Montreal is a club on the upswing. I really do. And they just signed some more important players. But they continue to...
Nesta, right? Is it Nesta?
Nesta, yeah, exactly. Sandro Nesta. I think that they're a lot more formidable than some people are giving them credit for because, you know, they had a rough start to the season. They're an expansion club, of course, so you expect them to take, you know, a while to find their legs.
Right.
When I watch them play, they move the ball well, and they read defenses. And a lot of times when they get an opportunity, they capitalize on it, you know?
Right.
And that was even without Bernardo Corradi, who's one of their, definitely talented striking forwards. That was a good game, and fortunately Pontius was able to, you know, pop one in before halftime so that we could go in with that cushion. I would not have wanted to be in that locker room had that not happened.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. I actually asked I asked Coach Ben Olsen that at the press conference after the game, you know, because at the end of the game there was kind of this, oh, yeah, 3-0, beat Montreal, we should have done that, no big deal. And I was kind of even on there, you know, kind of giving him a hard time, a little razzing on Twitter and online, just like, let's play him anytime. But then I started thinking, you know, we didn't exactly manhandle them the first half, given the fact that they're missing some players and they're not considered to be that good of a team, right? And so I asked Coach Ben Olsen how important and how vital was it to get that goal, you know, and he said it was absolutely vital, like you're saying. And if you think about it, the mentality going in at halftime, if you're 0-0 with that team, yeah, that would have been horrible. It was 100-something degrees outside, so it was brutally hot, and that's got to wear on the players. And then the fact that here's a team you should be easily taken care of at home.
Well, see, that's the part I want to slow down on, is I don't think they're a rollover team. And I don't think, you know, there's somebody who we necessarily should dominate. Now, you know, I think any game going in, you've got to take your opponent seriously no matter who they are. And we've discussed this, the three of us, before here at Fans United. But also, the more I watch Montreal, the more I watch IMFC, I really think that they're getting stronger. They're gelling a lot more as a team. You know, I noticed their defenders closing and their midfielders closing down a lot of passing lanes and snatching a lot of turnovers from a lot of different clubs.
Right.
And you know, and as such, transitioning really quickly and getting you know, getting a counterattack going and converting on a lot of them, but even when they don't, you know, creating a tremendous amount of difficulty for the other team, especially whose, you know, defenders may have been playing a high line and can, you know, get caught behind a lot more than they should. So I really think Montreal is not a passover team.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, we've talked about it too. Like you said, you just can't – teams that you think you should beat, you got to be up for, you know?
Yeah,
it just exactly. Or else they'll get you, and then that looked like, you know, a combination of things looked like that could have been happening in the first half. But the goal changed momentum. It's huge. Mm-hmm. Pontius did his signature move, but added back to the left foot there, huh?
Yes, yes.
A little he tricky
went
there.
Right, went left, right, left, didn't he?
Just when you think you know, you don't know. So
well, it's like a dance move. He's been working on it for a while. He's got an added step now.
Right.
Know?
It's it's just natural to him, huh? So that was nice, man. It was a nice move. And that gave
pretty.
His ninth goal, two more than he's ever had. And I saw somewhere, like MLS.com, you know, starting to, you know, they start to do these awards, who's on the early radar for the most improved. And I'm thinking, forget most improved. He's on my radar for MVP, at least for DC United this year. I mean,
absolutely.
9 goals. I mean, he's just amazing coming off injury. And, you know, he's picking up. He's playing a new position he's never played.
Yeah, right. And having moved from midfielder to up top and proving that he can strike and he can score. And not only can he score, he scored the game winner in 5 games.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, important goals.
The Pontius for the win.
You know, on paper, a goal is a goal, but you look at Pontius' goal in this game against Montreal, huge momentum changer. You look at Salehi's goal, who cares? Just a garbage goal in garbage time, you know?
You said the word garbage.
It's
twice. Twice in that sentence.
I know, because that was what I was thinking of when I was watching the game. I wrote, oh, he's just coming in garbage time, you know. I watched a lot of Lakeville basketball growing up. And
okay, I never underestimate a goal, okay?
Right,
I know what
saying,
you're saying about garbage
is,
time. A meaningless goal versus a game-changing goal. Pontius'
goals are very meaningful, very perfectly timed, very just needed, you know.
Let's keep our eye on a new stat, the GWG.
Game-winning goals. I like it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, not all goals are created equal, right? You make a great point. Hamdi Salehi, 79th minute, makes a meaningless third point to put it away for the evening. Sure. You know, and that's the third goal is always that, you know, game over.
Right.
That's 3-0, of course. You know, the second is the, you know, is the insurance goal. The third is the game winner.
Right.
But, or, you know, that puts it out of reach for the other team.
Mm-hmm.
But
you got to go up first, you know. You got to score first. That's always the
most meaningful goal. There is the one that Pontius got before going into. Because I mean, think about it. This would have been a tale of two cities. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It could have been the best of times or the worst of times at halftime in that locker room.
Right, exactly.
I would not have wanted to be there with, you know, you got one of two Ben Olsens coming into that locker room at halftime.
Yeah, luckily he got to turn the page, right?
Pontius saved the entire team from evil Ben Olsen.
Yeah,
he got to put that one away
until next time so they didn't have to hear
it.
Just a couple other notes I had for that game is I thought Woolard was very aggressive. Lucky not to get any kind of cards, you know. I'm a fan of DC United, but I have to say I thought it was pretty poor officiating. We got away with a lot.
Awful officiating. And you know what? It all fell our way, but I'll be the first to admit, I mean, you kind of take the lid off a can of worms there, Chris, because officiating in the MLS has been getting a lot of rap this season, and maybe it's just because people are beginning to notice that it's been bad.
Well, they brought that big notice on them by doing that ridiculous late, you know.
Disciplinary committee.
Yeah, the disciplinary committee made it a million times worse. I mean, it was already, like, considered to not be that good of a group of referees, but when you start doing that, you just magnify it tenfold, and, you know, they did it to themselves, so it's hard not to notice now.
Yeah. Yeah, and I noticed that, too. I mean, I was watching the game, and I was like, I sort of can't believe, and you can see it on the other players' faces, but they were counting, they're like, they go up to the ref, you know, with the number three, with the, you know.
Yeah.
The European looking three going, that's three you've missed. They're pulling to their eyes, you know. I felt sorry for them. I mean, I was glad that, you know, I was calling quietly, but I was like, there before, you know, the grace of bad officiating go, I, when it falls the other way, I'm going to be really unhappy.
Exactly. Yeah.
And uneven officiating is never good.
No, it makes for a poor
You want it to be.
You know, you don't want to watch that kind of stuff.
Sure, it's a botch no matter what, you know, and we don't want to win like that. They don't want to lose like that. So, hey, you know, MLS, if you're taking notes from everything, more even officiating. Pay some more time and attention to the officiating, you know?
Yeah.
We don't need just the same three blind mice out there all the time, you know? Let's raise our level of officiating.
Exactly.
If there is such a thing.
Well, hopefully they'll pick it up against the Dynamo, right? Because I think that's going to be a pretty hard-fought battle, and I expect DC and Woolard to be a little physical with Bruin again, since he, like we talked about, tends to have good games against...
You're leaving the 800-pound elephant out of this. This is Danny Cruz's time to shine.
Yeah, well, I thought it was last time, you know, so hopefully it is this time.
Well, he said he felt a lot of butterflies. He actually wound up being a little more unsettled and a victim of his own adrenaline, he said.
Yeah.
And so hopefully he, you know, now that he's done that, and he'll be back home. Hopefully he can channel all that and he'll come in feeling strong, feeling good, harness that energy. And you know, come on, Danny, let's help us out, man.
Right.
Let's do it. Take it to the limit one more time.
So, yeah. So we'll be expecting a lot from the back line to help him out, you know, help him be relaxed. Yeah. And Will Bruin, by the way, has 9 goals. So he's not having a bad season either, huh? I don't think I knew he had that many.
He's one of the most dangerous men in MLS. You know what I mean? He really is.
He
makes chances happen. He does a
silly little dance that, I mean, let's be honest, nobody wants to see that dance. I don't want to see that at RFK.
Good point. No one wants to see that. Stop dancing. Let's shut him down.
Right. So what do you think besides
Bruin?
So
he thinks he can do it. Besides Bruin.
Brad Davis.
You got Ching, you got Davis.
Right.
They're a high-powered offense, and they're hardworking. They're physical. You know, all the things we said last time are still true. The things that are changed is they're coming into our house. They're gonna be looking to shut us down. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Nice thing is we've got Dejan Jakovic back. I didn't call his name the last time we had a podcast, and I wish I had him because. He, to me, is one of the people who's really making a difference back there on the back line between, you know, Robbie Russell, Woolard, Dejan. Those guys are just having a great season.
Speaking about the back line, what happened to Dudar?
I don't know.
He just disappeared.
I thought he had an injury, a nagging injury that wasn't completely healed, but you're right. He's blipped, right?
Yeah, I mean, even if he's had an injury, it seems like it's been forever, and they've had kind of a slower schedule lately that he would have been back. I don't know.
Yeah, he could have got some garbage minutes, as you said.
Yeah, like garbage minutes.
Maybe it's just not enough, you know, in the tank, you know, for the amount of subs that we have to toss back in there. But I'd like to think he's still hurt. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I'm never going to... at least this season, I'm not going to second-guess...
Kind of injuries.
I'm not going to second-guess Ben Olsen this season because he's making some amazing calls.
Mm-hmm.
A 9 p.m. Sunday game, huh? Wow.
9 p.m. Sunday?
Yeah.
9 p.m.?
July 15th, 9 p.m. That's a late game. Must be like a... Is it a doubleheader that day or something?
I don't know. Doubleheader with whom?
No, I mean like an MLS.
Is United Women?
No, I mean like an MLS doubleheader. Like if there's going to be an early game and this will be on after. But it's on Comcast, so...
But that's not what time the game is played. That's probably what time it's broadcast.
Oh, okay. Well, it says on the schedule, Sunday, 9 p.m.
9 p.m., yep, it does. It does say that.
Well, I was wondering, they had a good turnout last time, right? Over 18,000.
18,000.
So that's great. Best turnout of the season. And close to a sellout now because they're capping it at, what, 9-6, 19-3, 19-6, something like that.
I don't know. You're the only one I've ever heard say all that.
Yeah, I mean, I read that when they very first talked about when they closed the top bowl, they said what a sellout would have to be now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's pretty good. And then you wonder, like, maybe there'll be more interest now with the new ownership. Maybe people will be coming out now. I mean, there's plenty of reasons to come out, except for the fact that it's Sunday at 9.
Yeah, listen, I think that in terms of attendance – you had a perfect situation with that last game, you know, Saturday, home game when we're expected to win, a big push, a sales push, you know, there were reduced price tickets, there were, deals, there was Living Social,
power outages. So, if you're going to be without power and air conditioning, might as well be at RFK.
Really? I don't know about that. That's a stretch to me.
Oh, okay. I know for
without
us.
Without power, you're sitting at home hoping people don't loot you. You know?
Maybe.
All right.
So you're thinking maybe not as many people? I was thinking maybe we could ride it one more time, but I don't know. That's a rough time.
Sunday, 9 p.m. Sunday, 9 p.m. People have kids. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, a 7:30 game is a lot more family-friendly than a 9 p.m. game. You know that, and I know that.
Right.
You know, I'm a suburban dad, and one of the big reasons to go is to be able to take some kids, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you want to make it Cougar night instead, you know, Sunday night.
I don't know about any of that stuff anymore.
What time's that game going to be over? Like midnight?
I guess. That's, wow, I don't know. I got to double check that. Is that wrong? That seems crazy.
No, hey, wait a minute. It says that, yeah. There are no other 9 p.m. games anywhere on the schedule. Well, yeah, there is Real Salt Lake, but see, that's in a different time zone.
Right.
Let's double check that. Let's just.
Oh, they're at Houston Dynamo.
Oh.
Never mind.
There you go. Of course.
Yeah.
Edit that out so we don't look so stupid.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the fun part, looking stupid.
Hey, I have to hide. I am who I am. You know, I sort of feel that my role in this whole podcast is kind of as comedy anyway, so
yeah, me too, even if it's not intended. The more I take myself serious, the more comedy I provide.
Okay.
Well, they're at Houston again. Wow, you know, that might hurt Danny's nerves a little. I don't know, maybe not, since he's been there, done that once already. It would be nice to get one win on the road there, because you know we could play good at home, so can we do it on the road and be consistent that way?
I'll tell you what, it's gonna be hot.
Yeah.
It's going to be hot, even at 9 p.m.
Yeah. So
July, Houston, no breezeways. It's going to be hot.
You're right. Well,
it'll be interesting, though. I'd like to be there, you know. That's fun game.
Definitely. What about a Paris Saint-Germain game? That's pretty random how that all fell apart and then came back together. I don't know much about that team, Paris Saint-Germain. I'm going to go, and I'm going to see the game, watch, and
cool.
I guess they have a couple players, you know, that their marketing is pretty good. But, you know, international friendlies are always pretty fun, especially the crowds, you know.
Right. It's a unique environment and atmosphere. And I think a lot of people come to those games who don't come to D.C. United games, especially because D.C. is such an international city.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think there are a lot of people who are in Washington and who are living and working here.
Mm-hmm.
who are international soccer fans who come out to this stuff. I mean, do you remember back, were you, you know, around when the World Cup was going on here?
No.
Because I went to some games, and you could not get a ticket. I mean, like, right. Italy played up at RFK, you could not get a ticket. Totally sold out to the gills.
Yeah. I mean, I went to the Gold Cup, and it was not completely sold out, but it had a good vibe. And I went to the David Beckham game where he first played, and that was
I went to that.
Yeah, it was a crazy experience.
That was insane, wasn't it?
People all the way to the top. Even the second time he came back, same thing, you know?
Well, let's go back to that first one. I mean, when he came out on the field, that place erupted like the Beatles were there. Wasn't that crazy? And a lot of it was like women's.
Oh, it was all women. I told my wife, it's all women in Beckham jerseys and men hating on them.
I don't know. I was with a group of guys, and we were all just, you know, we all appreciate him for his stature in the game. I mean, you know, world-class player, and gosh, man, I mean, you saw that game.
Yeah.
He showed a couple times from, like, you know, the midfield mark, you know, he'd serve it, and it would go, you know, basically on Landon Donovan's head at a full-speed run.
It was just exciting to be there in a full-capacity crowd like you were talking about. I wasn't there at the World Cup, but I do, like, I had that vibe, the same vibe in the same stadium where it's, like, completely full.
Yeah.
And it just, wow, what an atmosphere.
It's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've never
I mean, to look up at that arc near the middle of the side up top and to see people all the way up there and think, wow, you know?
It's like a Rolling Stones concert.
Gives you a slight little taste of European soccer. So I guess that's what the friendlies bring out. So it would be nice to see.
That's what I'm hoping,
How many people come out. It would be fun, man.
Yeah. Who did I see? I watched, since we're on that topic, I caught Saudi Arabia play in the Netherlands there. Netherlands crushed. And that was like two-thirds full.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot of people at RFK. And it was people, you know, you wonder where they come from. Where are they coming from? You know, are they from out of town?
Yeah, how do we get
them? Because this is like 98, okay? So this is when, let me think for a second. No, I think it might have been 94. But this is back when, you know, you go to a DC United game and even the bottom bowl isn't full, you know?
Right.
And basically, non-English speakers way outnumber English speakers at that point. You know, I used to love going to those games because you'd hear so much Spanish spoken and everybody, like, be on their feet the entire time. And you could walk right up to the front row because there's nobody there, you know.
Right. The biggest experience was the first experience for me. I saw 1984 Olympic soccer at the Rose Bowl. And I was only like 8 years old. I saw Brazil versus Morocco. That was my very introduction to international soccer. And I just remember huge flags and just noise the whole time. I don't have the best memory of it, but I remember that, you know. So Brazil versus Morocco. I think, man, I wish I could see that nowadays, you know. Now that I'm older and I have a true respect for the game, I wish I could watch that again. Yeah. Go back to be my 8-year-old self with all that I appreciate. But, yeah, those are always fun environments, man. So hopefully I'm looking forward to just that. Not the biggest team, Paris Saint-Germain, but, you know, better than Columbus Crew.
yeah, absolutely. I love to hate on the Crew. All right, well, let's wrap it up, Chris.
Let's wrap it up. So a couple shout-outs, right? Make sure, even though Devin's not here, that we give a shout-out to playonpitch.com and Devin.
And DMT. He's at the beach.
Right. He's probably having a great time. And,
surf's up, Devin.
So good for Devin.
And don't forget, he's got that tournament he's organizing. I believe that you can go to playonthepitch.com and find out more about that.
That's right, playonthepitch.com. Join. We have a Fans of United team. If you'd like to join it, contact us through social media. We're on Twitter at Fans of United, or you know, you can reach out to Eric at FilmCore. Hope you don't mind that, Eric.
You can reach out to Chris at Virginia Soccer.
Oh, yes, yes. We're on.
And, you know, hey, you know, if you're listening to this and you feel like, you know, getting out and kicking the ball around, you know, see what we got. See if we're all talk or if we could actually have any foot skills.
Yeah,
so,
let's do it. Wow. And so let's get a team together and support Devin and support the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. And maybe we'll get the chance to play the championship game on RFK Field, you know. Who knows? Now that they have new ownership, we're counting down the days for the field to be retired, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Now it's an endangered species. We got to get out there. Exactly.
That's the way
right.
We got to look at it, you know. Oh, man, there's only many days left, you know. A whole new love affair with RFK. And one last shout-out is to our new friends at Pele Sports. They're going to be providing some Pele Sports gear for giveaways during our next video podcast.
Right on.
We should be sporting some of their gear and giving away some also, so stay tuned for that. I believe we should be doing a new video podcast maybe this month. What do you think?
Yeah. We'll definitely schedule one for July. We don't have a date picked out yet because it is that time of year when people disappear to the beach. But, let's say we're in pre-production mode on that. We'll be probably announcing a date for that soon.
Exactly. That sounds good. And
excellent.
And so that's all I got for shout-outs other than everybody that's, been following us and interacting with us and listening to us. We appreciate it. We do have some news, but we'll hold off until we get the very final okay. But some good news for Fans United podcast should get us more reach and some more exposure, which would be great. So hopefully we'll announce that next Monday.
Right on. My shout out goes to Eric Tohir. And Jason Levian, welcome to Washington. I look forward to interacting with you guys, and glad that you're with the club. I think it's a positive thing. It's all good.
Very exciting. All right, well,
excellent.
Until next time, hopefully we'll have all three of us back together, and we'll have some more people joining our Fans of United, our 5v5 team. Signing off, Chris Swimmer, Eric Hunsinger. We'll talk to you guys next time. Vamos.
All right. Talk to you tonight.
All right.
Talk to you next time. Bye. Great love.